Friday, May 5th, 2023. That's right. It's the Revenge of the May. Brought to you by Audible. Go get your free credit at audibletrial.com/groupquest, by patreon.com/groupquest, and by stackup.org. In today's news, we have a little bit of Life is Strange news. Some esports has some reports. And how about a little bit of PlayStation news? But today, we begin with GameSpot.com talking about Mike Ybarra. And he said, quote, on Twitter, okay, yes. I see all of the BlizzCon questions. You'll hear more in the next 2 weeks. We're excited. We have a lot to show and celebrate together. Now, that said, we already know that Diablo 4 is coming out very soon, June 6th, actually. Dragonflight was launched last November, and we know that Overwatch 2 is coming out with updates. But what other news could there be? Well, we'll discuss that tomorrow on the live show. I know we will, but that's a little bit of a teaser. Kotaku did say that the gamers, the PC gamers, were angry at the wrong people. Well, basically, they're talking about the past couple of years. And what they were talking about is when, during the pandemic, when the developers were at home making games, especially in the AAA department, they had to do things online and send stuff over the internet. And by doing that, it wasn't for the, or mostly not for the console games, but only for PC. In fact, at KC Explosion did say on Twitter, quote, folks, PC ports weren't fine back in the day. Buggy and broken PC release aren't a new phenomenon, and to claim otherwise is pure revisionism. That's if you even got a port in the first place. A lot of Japanese studios simply wouldn't release their games on PC at all. Now, something that, well, some people are quite angry about. Eurogamer.net did say that PlayStation's Pixel Opus, the Concrete Genie studio, is shutting down. Well, Pixel Opus is based in San Mateo, California, and it was a new internal studio for Sony in 2014, and its first game was Entwined there that same year. Now, the follow-up title was Concrete Genie, which did show better sales in 2019. In fact, it was nominated for the BAFTA Artistic Achievement Award, where Eurogamer did call it, quote, small, perfectly performed adventure. But Pixel Opus did say in a statement, quote, as we look into new futures, we wanted to say a heartfelt thank you to the millions of passionate players who have supported us and our mission to make beautiful, imaginative games with heart. We are so grateful. Now, speaking of PlayStation, WCCFTech.com did say that an insider did say that PlayStation Showcase in 2023 said that various teams are ready to show up their games. Now, the industry insider Shinobi did say, quote, to be clear, I don't know what Sony's exact plans are when it comes to a showcase or state of play and all that. But I know a good amount of teams are at a point where things are certainly ready to be shown. That's exciting. So, you could be looking at Ghost of Tsushima, which is what the website is referencing. Spider-Man 2, which could be launching this September. And maybe a new game from Team Asobi. We shall see what happens. Speaking of Spider-Man, Kotaku did say that you can finally buy Spider-Man Remastered on PlayStation 5. Yep, they did just say that. But you can get it for $50. But if you already have the game on PlayStation 4, you can upgrade it for $10. And the save data does carry over. That's if you want the upgrade. So yeah, it is indeed a little late. I get that. But hey, still, it's good. And Spider-Man 2 later this year? Now we go to the esports corner. And Esports Insider did say that Asia and MENA did generate a 56% esports revenue in 2022. So here we talk about some numbers. So this is according to the firm's 2023 Esports in Asia and MENA report. And the esports market is estimated to be valued at $1.3 billion. And China did remain as the largest market within the MENA region at $445 million in 2022. Now, China did get a bit of a hit in audience, which was down about 7.8% from the previous year, but there was still an increase in regional esports viewership within the other market. Now here I got charts in front of me. In Asia was at 52.8%, China was at 34.2%, and MENA was at 3.76%, and that's in the esports market. The Asia and MENA market share was MENA at 48.9 million, India at 22.3 million, Sea, basically the islands, 75.4 million. East Asia was at 143.96 million, and China was at 445 million. And the audience size, and this is comparison from 2021 to 2022, size in millions, was 434.1 for China in 2021. It went down to 400.2 million in 2022, while the rest of Asia did make up 309.9 million in 2021. I think the numbers are backwards because 264 million. So I think the numbers are backwards. So let's make it 264 million in 2021 and 300.9 million in 2022. So it's up 17.4%. So a little bit of balance. In fact, Alexander Champlin, director of esports research at Nico Partners, did say, in 2023, Asia remains the center of growth for the global esports market, while MENA is becoming an influential global player through high-value investments and high-profile events. Esports fandom continues to rise across the region. Esports business are consolidating and focusing their efforts while demand for esports remains strong. As a result, we expect to see moderate growth in both revenue and audience engagement this year. Now we get to the other article from Esports Insider, and they're saying that Stream Hatchet did report that esports viewership is up in 2015. Well, that's quarter one this year. So co-streaming is on the rise. So when it comes to year over year, the streaming numbers are up 15%. And basically, those that are watching through other streams are attracting more people. In fact, for instance, the Valorant streamer Tarek Selek did take the top spot with 13 million hours watched, which was in second place the Dota 2 streamer Nyx at 12 million, and Fortnite and Minecraft's El Spreen with 9 million, and then the Spanish variety streamer Ibai. So, just looking at the lion's share of viewers, Japan was taking that in the largest 30 tournaments that made up over 68% of total esports viewership. While YouTube does continue to grow its market of large events, and it's gone up by 10% measured against Twitch. So basically there's a lot of people watching esports, and it's bigger and bigger and bigger. Now we're gonna get to some games, because hey, this is a gaming podcast, all right? And we got some releases, oh boy, and maybe some earnings as well. We begin with Destructoid.com, and they're saying that Landlord's Super finishes the early access construction, and that comes out in May the 25th. It's on 20 days. So what Landlord's Super is basically a sandbox game where you build a house or an apartment, but keep in mind it is set back in the 1980s, so there's a lot of unemployment out there in Britain, which is where you're going to be at. So there are different ways to build the house for rent. So you build the house and you rent it out, and then you make some money. Now, right now, the game is available on Steam's Early Access, and the full version will be released on May 25th. Now we go to Hogwarts Legacy via BlueNews.com, and, well, Warner Brothers Games did say, quote, Warner Brothers Games totally announced Hogwarts Legacy, the critically acclaimed open-world action role-play game, RPG, is now available for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. The game has sold more than 15 million units and $1 $2 billion in sales globally since its launch on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC on February 10th, 2023. Hogwarts Legacy invites players to embark on an epic journey as a fifth-year student at Hogwarts. Gifted with a range ability to tap into ancient, powerful magic, guided by the wizard's field guide, and unique instruction from professors and other characters, fans will uncover a compelling storyline filled with thrilling challenges and mysteries developed by Avalanche Software and published by Warner Brothers. Games under Portkey Games label, Hogwarts Legacy includes an original story that puts players at the center of their own wizarding world adventure. Keep in mind, the game itself did not come under controversy, but the franchise did because of J.K. Rowling's quotes. Let's not blame the developer. Now we go to more developers, because the one that made Life is Strange, otherwise known as Don't Nod, did announce a release date for Harmony: The Fall of Reverie. So what is the Harmony: Fall of Reverie? Well, that is a game where you're going to play both sides of the world. So on one side, you're going to be playing as Polly, a young woman who has returned to her megacorp infested hometown. Basically, she wants to try to find what happened to her mom. But she then discovers the powers of clairvoyance. She then gets transported to the alternate world called Reverie, and then takes on her role as Harmony. So basically, she's living a double life, split between her world and her other world. Interesting, interesting. Now, the game comes out June 8th. So if you're interested, and the Ludonarikon Festival is on Steam, and that has the playable demo. So it will be coming to PC via Steam and Nintendo Switch on June 8th. It will be on other consoles on June 22nd, but the demo is on Steam until May 21st. So keep in mind, it's a demo, not a beta. We will be streaming tomorrow, twitch.tv/DawnForge. This has been a DawnForge production. 2023, all rights are reserved. We'll see you tomorrow for the live show, the weekly show. So go play some games until then, people. Oh, and beware the Sith.